Very much. The Reverend Dixon Beckley. Reverend Beckley, his grandfather was a reverend, so, and it's possible he can be a reverend too. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
And then let us pray then. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts grace this sanctuary and this day. Amen. For the past 3 weeks, 3 Sundays, we have heard Pastor Okiang talk about the call to ministry. She talked about the call of Abraham, the call of Moses, and the call of Samuel last week. And how God used and continued to use humans for the purpose we are created. This morning we will look at Isaiah. We have Abraham, Moses, Samuel, and now Isaiah. There are similarities and differences in these calls. However, what is peculiar about Isaiah's call is that he volunteered to go when God asked, "Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us?" Isaiah never questioned the mission like other prophets did. He volunteered without hesitation, without even knowing the details of the mission. He said, "Here I am, send me." We should be aware of the fact that Isaiah's situation and call was really, really difficult. He was to pass judgment on his people, and the judgment himself should suffer because he was part of that community. Isaiah was to tell the people to listen but not comprehend, to look but not understand. He is to prevent the people from understanding, hearing, or seeing, lest they see and be healed. Isn't this a very difficult task? We should note that those in biblical times, or even today, when people are commanded to do specific tasks or multiple tasks, they go for it, or sometimes they question God. In the days of the prophet like Isaiah, getting the message right was essential. For a prophet, or for a messiah, or for a priest. But putting it again in the right context was much more important. Isaiah's context, therefore, was not just simple. God used him in a specific context, just as God uses you and me in our own specific context, like in the context of Dixon Beckley leading our African choir in this time. With this said, I seek to prove this morning in this text we read, Isaiah 6, 1 to 13, that God intervenes in history through human vessels. God intervenes in history through human vessels. God has done it in the past and can do it through me and you today. At Campbell United Methodist Church, we are God's human vessel. And as long as God has done it in the past, through Abraham, Moses, Samuel, and Isaiah, God is able to do it through me and you. And so all we need to say, Lord, here I am, send me. Isaiah was called to ministry in the year King Uzziah died, according to the text. A short history here. King Uzziah was probably one of the best kings of Judah. By then, the nation of Israel was divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom, north, and the southern kingdom, south, right? There is no... Israel and Judah were in some social, political, economic mess, and nothing seems to be working for the kingdoms of Israel and Judah as they wage internal wars against each other. Assassinations and conspiracies against each other were the order of the day. Morality fell, backsliding and killing were rampant. Internally, the kingdoms were weakened. And this internal conflict gave rise to external forces to infiltrate their borders. Borders, political systems, social and religious forms. Political conquest by Assyria, living on the side, and Babylon started in earnest, and Israel and Judah were captured several times, enslaved by foreign powers. The northern kingdom of Israel fell to Assyria on the east, and Judah fell to Babylon and was taken into captivity, what today we call the Babylonian captivity. The Jewish dispersion by then started in earnest. Israelites were frequently taken into captivity, enslaved and dispersed to foreign lands, and other people will be brought to their own land for settlement. And what brought about all this one, or what came about, was that intermarriage started happening among them, which didn't really set up a cohesive society for Israel and Judah. The people of Israel hadn't remained faithful to their God through this period. The old standard of life had largely been rejected. Social injustice, such as oppression of the poor, were widespread, and other religions infiltrated into Yahwehism. And God was not pleased. The security of Israel was shaky. As history repeats itself, God always finds way to deal faithfully with his children, even when they turn their backs on him, like Israel did, Israel and Judah. Despite the chaos, unfaithfulness, rejection, injustice, God finds a way to appoint or encourage a prophet, priest, with a message for his people. This time, it was the time of Isaiah. Isaiah was called to a mission, and that mission was to go and pass judgment. The position of the text may have been compromised, not in the first chapter, but that's not for us this morning. In this text, Isaiah experienced a voice in the temple, and the temple was filled with smoke. Isaiah was terrified. He said, "This is very unusual. This is God." He cried out loud, "I am a man of unclean lips, and I have lived among people of unclean lips. How can I, Lord, see you at this time? How can I see you at this time?" But there, God sent the angels to clean him up, and he was commissioned. And in there, the angels sing some hymns, the hymns that we just sang, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord. And when the cleansing was over, the hymn continued. And Isaiah said, Lord, here I am. What next? He heard a voice. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Isaiah said, here I am, send me. He never even knew the details of the mission. And he said, send me, Lord. I am willing. I will volunteer to go. What follows in the next verses is very important. Very, very important. And it's the judgment. Listen to this again, though you may have heard it read by Robin. Isaiah asks, when this judgment shall last? The Lord said, until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitants, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, and until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. What a judgment. Wow. I just imagine how Isaiah would have been that moment. But he was right to ask for forgiveness for us because before his commissioning, and indeed he was cleansed. But listen again. The final words in this chapter state and comes with hope. But as the terebin and the hook leaf storms, when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the storm in the land. Judgment on one hand, and hope for the people of Israel on the other hand. The storm will remain, and this storm will be the remnant of Israel, and they will rise up. Some biblical scholars relate this vision with other vision of Isaiah, which state in Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and the thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise again among you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Isaiah had a vocation already among his people. He already had a vocation. He was already working with his people. And in the midst of doing his work, he was further instructed to carry out another task. At the end of that judgment, he was to pronounce the coming of the Messiah, whom he saw seated on the throne in verse 3. But this was a judgment and hope for a nation that has been on the run for many years and who have been immigrants and refugees for the most part of their lives and settlement. But indeed, as I said earlier, God does and can intervene in history through human vessels. Isaiah was to be the human vessel, and he hesitated not. He carried out the task and pronounced the judgment and hope of the coming Messiah, the Messiah who is to help Israel out of all this mess, the political mess, the religious mess, so that they can come back to their God who had saved them many times. As I reflect on this call, I am reminded of my call to ministry, which started in my own native land, Sierra Leone. Like Israel, my native land, Sierra Leone, was in a mess. There were internal conflict, corruption, mismanagement of public funds, and it was very difficult for 95% of the population to live on $1 a day. Children aged 5 were drafted into war, and child soldiers, girls, were raped at age 5, Pregnant women were torn apart, were torn into pieces just to know whether the boy, whether the baby in that womb is a boy or a girl. During those days, many people lost hope and faith in the very God who promised them to save them. The result and the reason you see today, many of us feel in dispute. I was either in the classroom teaching or in the church or out there with Echo Mug getting the weapons from those child soldiers. Those were specific tasks in my ministry. And I never hesitated. I said, Lord, here I am, send me. And even as I was called as pastor, I was also called to do a specific task and to disarm, admonish child soldiers, rebels in the war front. I made an impact in the lives of many people who are alive today. I left for the United States in 2000 and then worked with my brothers and sisters in a typical African setting, indigenous churches. Later, I came to Campbell United Methodist Church and I met Dick Cousin and he said, go to Pacific School of Religion. And then the African ministry was born. And then we have a choir who is a very good standing choir today. And then we are still here. And then. God has a way to use us as human vessels for his cause. All we do is to say, here I am, send me. Are you ready? Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Like the biblical patriarchs and matriarchs, Sarah down to the formation of the judges in the Old Testament, from the institution of the monarchy in Israel to the fall of the Northern Kingdom, from the New Testament authorities and down to Jesus and us today, we are all immigrants coming from above. Coming from the transcendent God, the God who sent us on this earth. But this God intervenes in history through our human vessels, no matter what, no matter who you are, by your skin color, by your language, by your tribe, by your sexual orientation or political affiliations. We have a lot today, a lot of opportunities in this church. Campbell United Methodist Church. We have our children still struggling to find teachers. And who's going to say, here I am, Lord, send me. We have need for people to help volunteer for the youth and young adults. Who is going to volunteer, here I am, send me. We have the ministry at Helmut Jail. Who's going to step up, Lord, here I am, send me. We have our hospitality team. We have the board written down there. Who's going to say, here I am, Lord, send me. We have a lot of ministry opportunities. But wait. We promise. We did make a promise in this church to cross borders for the sake of love. That means, whom shall we send to help with immigrations around? Immigrants will suffer because they don't have documents to show why they are here. Who's gonna go out to help immigrants who work $5 an hour to get their document filled so that they can be legally accepted in this country? Who's gonna go out and use the poor, those who are in jail, to help them out, to become who they are? Whom shall I send? There is a lot. Remember, John Wesley was always on the move. He was an immigrant many times, even in the United States. But I never heard or read he was molested or had any problem anywhere with documentations when he came into the United States. as demonstrated in the Bible, John Wesley admonished us to help the strangers, especially those who are unable to do for themselves, especially those who need help, especially our children, our youth and young adults, especially the aged, those who need help around the world. Whom shall I send? Brothers and sisters, finally, when we volunteer to a call and say, "Here I am," we are answering to radical hospitality and compassion. We are religious people, people who should promote radical hospitality and compassion. We have been doing it, but still there is still more space to cover. As Frank Rogers Jr., a spiritual director in one of our United Methodist seminaries in the Southern California state, went through to their spiritual essence, religious traditions do no more than deepen people's connections to the compassionate source of life, restore people to the fullness of love and loving vitality, and send people forth with expanded capacities to be active embodiment of compassion in the world. Active compassion, active hospitality is what is needed to this call. Here I am, send me. Brothers and sisters, there is a lot in our church, and it is time to step up again, again and again and again, and fill those spaces and fill those areas and make sure that we ginger ourselves for the call and say, so as long as God says, whom shall I send? We are ready to say, here I am, send me. God bless us all.